Father, we thank you for the sunrise that we have. We thank you for the air conditioning, though, Lord, we're enjoying as we are cooling here. Lord, I thank you for the many, many blessings that, God, you just heap on us every day just because you're good and generous. Lord, I would ask that you would help us to be good stewards of those blessings, though. Lord, as they are heaped on us, Lord, you're asking us to do things with them. Sometimes it's just to sit and enjoy. Sometimes it's just passing it along. But Lord, we are still required to be stewards of our blessings. Lord, help us to be a good steward of the blessing of this day and all the things that it holds for us all day long. In Jesus' name, amen. It's kind of funny that James would mention Ed. I was just thinking of him last week. I was literally thinking of Ed last week, and what a blessing he was to go visit in his last days, and how that was enjoyable. How it was encouraging to me to be with him. So this morning, John, go ahead and put up the first slide. Speaking of Ed, I don't know if you guys read much of the account a couple of weeks ago of the gentleman who walked into the elementary school up outside of Atlanta and the office lady that came. Somebody got shot. Well, he shot at the floor. But and the account of the lady that kind of talked him down, how God had a divine appointment. But in that account, there was something that really struck me. And that's kind of what we're going to be talking about a little bit this morning. Is she said that as she was talking to this young man, and he had a gun, a lot of bullets, and was there, and his intention was to hurt people, was that when she looked into his eyes, she said she saw nothing. And my word would be, looked like an abyss, that she saw nothing when she looked into his eyes. But instead of becoming angry at him, or instead of hoping that someone else would come along to take care of the problem, that she decided she would have pity. She felt compassion. And that God supernaturally gave her peace, gave her the words, gave her the calmness, gave her eyes to see. Wait a second. There's nothing in him, maybe, but there's something in me. And that really got me thinking about how often in life do you just look at people and not really ever think about the spiritual side of them? You got family members, you got coworkers, you got neighbors, you've got one another here. How often do you really ever look somebody in the eye and think to yourself, what's the spiritual side of them at this moment? Now, I know that sometimes we talk about the spiritual battle, but you know, the way I believe through Scripture is you're either alive in Christ or you're dead in sin. You're either with God or you're without Him. Now, our society loves to perpetuate the lie of there's these other options, and you know that. But really, as followers of Christ, how often do you look at somebody in the eye and say, wait a second, either you're spiritually alive in Christ or you're spiritually dead in sin? First of all, our society does not look people eyeball to eyeball very well, I believe. I believe we have a tendency to look for a moment and then look away. Okay? So this morning, I guess if there was a title, John always likes for me to give him a title, so I called it Spiritually Alive. If you don't give John a title on these PowerPoints, he's back there all discombobulated, okay? He's just out there. We got to come up with something. Don't we, John? Am I lying? Is that true? That's true, isn't it, John? Okay. It is his birthday, but he does a great job. I mean, he does a great job. So this morning, our first scripture I'm going to look at, and then see those two questions. What is being spiritually alive? What is being spiritually dead? I want to know what that means to you. I want to know what that says to you. But let's look at Colossians 2, 13 through 15. We're going to look at the ESV version. It says in this letter, "And you who were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with Him, having forgiven us all our trespasses by canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. This He set aside, nailing it to the cross. He disarmed the rulers and authorities and put them to open shame by triumphing over them in Him," being Christ. So there's a scripture for you to look at. And there's a couple of things I want to hear from you on. Because I'm not sure that you nor I give much thought daily to ourselves and to others. Are they spiritually alive or are they spiritually dead? Or are you just kind of walking through life with a numbness that most of us, I believe, walk through life with? Until something confronts us face to face. Because that story in Atlanta, I won't say it for it, that story in Atlanta is this, is that woman couldn't avoid it. It came to her. But I believe it comes to all of us a lot more than we think it does. We just kind of can excuse ourselves from it in one way or another. What does it mean to you to be spiritually alive or be spiritually dead? I would add something to that, though. The blinders, this is my opinion, the blinders are to the spiritual side of God's side of the spiritual thing. And I think that spiritually dead, I think you can be very aware of the evil side of things, but you may not call it evil. And a good story is this. This is a true story I'm getting ready to tell you. There was a missionary. I can't remember what South American country it was. Okay, I think it was Brazil, but don't quote me on that. Okay, a missionary went down there, and he felt led to specifically go or reach a certain people group. And there was a river, and he decided to build a house on the opposite side of the river from where the people group was, the tribe was set up. Now, I don't know how much praying he went into where to build that house. I don't know any of that part of the story. He may have prayed for a long time and fasted. I don't know. But as he was building the house, the people from the tribe, they came over, and he had not learned their language yet, and they couldn't speak English. And so they asked the question to an interpreter, why aren't those things over here where you're building your house? Well, he couldn't understand what they were asking. Long story short was, is the tribe said, on our side of the river, there's things that fly around all the time, and they're not flying around over here where you're building your house. And it was a spiritual thing. They were seeing some sort of demonic entities of some sort. But to them, they had lived with it their whole lives because no one had ever shared Jesus with them. So they were engulfed in their spiritual part of the world in evil. And so they were spiritually dead, but they could see that. They could see the evil side of things. But the interesting thing was is they could see the absence of it too, meaning they could say, something's not over here that's over here, and not understanding the effect of it. And I don't know the end of that story. The guy built the house on that side of the river. I don't know how the reaching of the tribe went. So I would just add, I agree with what you're saying, Gary. I would just say that a lot of times that I believe those who are spiritually dead can see spiritual death, so to speak. They can see an evilness that sometimes, I'm not saying we're supposed to see it, but I'm not saying we're not supposed to see it either. And I was talking to one of my older teenagers a while back, and I asked the question, said, so how's your quiet time? How's your devotional? And they were honest. Ah, it's a little bit dead. I hit a little bit. And I said, but let me ask you a question. Did it really matter that you didn't spend any time with God? And I said, because you made it, didn't you? I mean, you made it through the day, right? Yeah. I said, well, you still were able to eat, and you still had clothes, you still had a roof over your head, still had some good things from your point. Yeah. I said, but did you ever stop to think that if you'd have spent more time listening to God, it could have been even better? It could have been better. And I challenged that person, I challenged that individual to realize something that I think most of us live so comfortable that we really don't think that spiritually alive part, that it can get any better. That, well, we have Christ, and we know there's people out there that need Him, and all the things that we deal with day in and day out. But do we ever believe the truth that by canceling the record of death that stood against us with its legal demands, that there's something better? I mean, is there more joy than you're experiencing right now? Is there more satisfaction? Is there more contentment? Well, I believe that if we just choose to say, well, I'm making it, then maybe not because you're going to die and be separated from God eternally, but maybe you have a spiritual deadness to you. I mean, when you read the Word and when you pick up the Word, does it seem like life or is it just words on a page? Because if you don't read it today, well, you'll probably still make it. You know, maybe even have a good time. But do you really believe that that is true and that God has something more closeness that makes everything better? I'm just challenging me as I'm challenging you. Because I believe most of us live so comfortable. Even if we don't have all the money we want, or even if we don't have the job that we've longed for yet, or maybe your kids are closer to being, you'd like to take them out than to not have, you know, just kind of thinking some days, just need to knock them upside the head a little bit. But that spiritually alive and that spiritually dead, it's important to realize that's something daily that you need to look in the mirror. Are you coming alive? I used the analogy the other night in life group. One time I was talking, it was actually Doug Dorman I was having a conversation with, and he asked me about something fun that I'd done with the kids. And I told him this story about something we were doing. It was something stupid as usual. Yes, I was leading us into stupidity. Okay. All right. And I got done telling the story, and he said, you know, when you told that story, and he was serious, he wasn't joking with me. So when you told that story, you came alive. That really convicted me. Because I was wondering, how do I come across when I just talk about my relationship with God? How do I just come across? Now, I really didn't do anything great. I didn't run around the room and shout or go nuts or anything when I was telling Doug about something else. But what he was talking about was my countenance. What he was talking about was my attitude. What he was talking about was the smile on my face. I came alive. So I would challenge you to think about that as we go on to the next thing. John, same scripture. I just like keeping up there before. But signs of life. Now, I'm going to run through my signs, but I want to hear from you guys. I don't have a question. What are some more signs of life? But I want you to be thinking. Signs of life. I think part of it is we engage in the battle. I'm not a believer in neutrality. I don't believe in neutrality in the spiritual world. Okay, I believe that in the spiritual world, good and evil is always trying to take ground. Trying to kill, steal, and destroy, or give life. Part of it is just, you're using what God has given you. I put spiritual gifts, but I would add spiritual gifts, your resources, you're willing to use those. I was thinking of something this morning. When Dusty and Audrey came and led the band over at the BSU, when they started meeting there, I remember when Dusty said, we need help setting up chairs. And I was thinking, well, shoot, I can do that. You know, I'm qualified to do that. But what I didn't realize was this, how much it meant to matter. When I started doing that. And that it really was real work. And the joke was on me because when we moved to Georgetown Elementary, it became even more work. We had lots of tables, but I'm thinking of those crazy dividers that most of you don't even know what I'm talking about. But if you need to, we can give you an in-service someday on setting up dividers, can't we, Dustin? And, but using the gifts, because I mattered, I came alive. Because I realize I matter. And then active in the body of Christ. That can mean a lot of things. So I don't know what it means to you, but one of the things it means to me is that Bobby and Sophia are in my life group, and that I see them a couple of days a week. But when I'm not with them, they're still important to me, and I'm still praying for them and with them, the things that are on their heart. That's something that I think is a sign of life, that when I'm not in your physical presence, you're still on my heart and mind. Okay? John, go to the next one, because I got a couple more on the next one. Then I want to hear from you guys. A couple more signs of life. You love unconditionally. That's what I heard Dixie. She said she's loving people unconditionally, and it hurt her heart when somebody didn't love some people unconditionally. It hurt her to see someone not loving unconditionally. And then see that last one? Stick to the process of maturing. That's why I put Philippians 2, 12 through 13 on there. I'm willing to continue to grow. And it says, therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill His good purpose. That scripture belonging to sticking to the process of maturing. So those are some of my signs of life. What are some of your signs of life? Or you can rephrase, add to what I just said, the way I phrased them. Maybe you have a different way of saying them that makes people understand it better this morning. So some signs of life. What are some signs of life? Job? God does have a job to do. We need to make sure we're doing it well. Money? You got money today? It's your birthday, Daniel. Yeah, I know it's Thursday, but you'd probably be getting money. So signs of life. Well, you know, I think one of the things that comes to mind is if you guys ever pull up the prayer guide or you come by and pray, Dusty always has typically in some there examining our hearts. And I think what Mom was saying too, Stephen's saying, what you're saying too is that it's, I think it is both and. There are times that it doesn't stick. But then there are times that it's stuck that you didn't wear it. You weren't aware that it stuck. And then he's saying that, hey, God's opened my eyes that it did stick. No, but that taking time to examine it, because back to my example of, well, what if you don't take time to examine yourself? Well, you make it. Oh, you made it through the day. Yeah, you figured out a way to pay the bills. You figured out a way not to kill somebody today. You made it, you know. And I mean, guys, that's the way our society is. I know you know that, but do you realize that? Do you grasp that? That most of the people that you meet are just trying to make it one more day. Now, I don't know what they put their hope in. Maybe they're spending all their money on lottery tickets, or maybe they're hoping they don't get caught the way they're trying to survive. But that's the way our country is. Can we just make it? And we're above that. I believe that. We're above that. I know we have worries. I know you have worries. I have worries too. But I remind myself, hold on a second. First of all, did I create them? did I get myself into this? Okay. And then asking, you know, God, I got myself into it. I confess, I'll take responsibility. Help me get out of it, though, according to your plan. I'm not asking you to quick fix it. But I think all that plays into the signs of life that we are just trying to make it from day to day. And I don't see that as being scriptural. I just don't see it. I don't see Moses trying to make it one more day to get to something he knew he would never see. I mean, what if God spoke to you today and said, I've got something really great on the other side of I-95, but all you can do is you can pull up to I-95 and look over. And you traffic, a lot of traffic. And you look over and that was it. You know? That's all you get to do. How would you live? Point being is that we say we want to thrive, not survive. But I don't know that we have a good picture of what thriving is. I really don't know that we have a good picture of thriving in America today for believers. I wonder how many times this week you or I really gave any thought to praying about the situations that are going on in our world that you know about. Just because a lot of those seem to be happening on the other side of the world doesn't mean they're not at our doorstep spiritually. Okay? When you were talking about that, Sophia, it made me think about kind of burying our head in the sand and saying that someplace else. John, go to the next slide, please. So let's think about it this way. What are some false signs of being spiritually alive? People think, man, I've got it all figured out spiritually. Money? Okay. Sorry, Steve. Yeah, you're right. Back to significance, Daniel. Yeah. Some false signs of being spiritually alive. Yeah, and there's some destination we've made up in our own mind. That's kind of my point about Moses in a way. His whole purpose was to lead the knuckleheads out, and all he got to do was look at the promised land from afar, which I remind my teenagers all the time that whiners and complainers never saw the promised land. But they're quick to remind me of that too. It, it, always comes back on me. Some other fault signs of being spiritually alive, or it's being judgmental. I want to add one thing to what Russell just said, is that when you arrive, if you believe you've arrived, then you believe you've earned the right to sit the rest of it out. That you don't have to do anything else to continue to work out your salvation, to show who you're a part of, who you belong to. That we believe that once we have arrived at a certain level, and that can mean a lot of things. Maybe you don't have to spend time in the Word. That maybe you don't have to be in the body of Christ. That you don't have to go to the parks anymore, because you've done that 6,000 times. That you don't have to keep the little baby, because you did that for 40 years. Somebody else's turn. Did you read that Matthew scripture on me already? Go ahead. Did you read the Matthew scripture on me already and go ahead? Look what it says. Now, this is from the Message. So, you know, it's a big paraphrase. The religion, scholars, and Pharisees are competent teachers in God's law. You won't go wrong in following in their teachings on Moses, but be careful about following them. They talk a good line, but they don't live it. They don't take it into their hearts and live it out in their behavior. It's all spit and polished veneer. Yeah, that's just a rephrasing of that, yeah. In the Isaiah passage, he says, "Give ear and come to me. Listen that you may live. I will make an everlasting covenant with you, my faithful love promised to David." I emphasize the word live, by the way. It's not actually in the scripture that way. But one of the reasons why it stuck out was, yes, the word lie or live is in there. But I think something that's important to us. We fake being close to God, I think, is a false sign of being spiritually alive. Most of you probably have had, if you don't have right now, a fear that if you share the gospel with somebody or talk to them about God, they're going to ask you a question about the Bible you don't know. Okay? Or that you're going to say something that's not quite right, but your intention is not to be wrong. Okay? I want you to see in Isaiah 55:3, the guy says, "Let's be close. And I want you to see how you can come alive." But I want you to see how you can come alive because we're in a covenant relationship and my love for you is promised. The relationship is spiritually alive. So I think a false sign of being spiritually alive is, how's your love quotient? How's your love quotient for yourself, for God the Father, and for others? How's your love quotient? Because if it's low, then I want you to know you're struggling with being spiritually alive. It's going to be difficult to forgive. It's going to be difficult to serve. It's going to be difficult to hear the truth. And then I read the last one quickly, but I won't read it again. You guys can read it again. Is that we know, but yet we still do this. We can't fake it before God. But yet, how often do you still attempt it? Maybe I can get one over on him. Maybe he's not looking at me today. Maybe, and then you fill in the blank. But I challenge you about this. I challenge me about it. That's why we're talking about it, because I got challenged first. And there was no need for me to bear this burden by myself. Okay? To be spiritually alive. People have asked me the last 2 months, "Do you miss running?" I said, "Heck no, I don't miss running." I don't miss sweating. I don't miss hurting at times. I said, but I do miss the part of how it makes me feel on the other side of it. That I do miss. But no, I don't miss all that other stuff. Okay, and I do, you know, you need to talk to Kathy. She would never let me have a bail, by the way. She refused to let me have a bail to ring so she could come and take care of bringing me water and stuff. But she was right there by my side. Sometimes she was behind me and the knife was right there. But I'm just kidding, hon. I'm just teasing. So, but I want you to think about that. Your spiritual aliveness. Okay? So let's pray. Father, we love you. We bless you. God, it is so good to know that we are alive today because of what you did for us and what you did in us, what you're doing to us. But Lord, praise be to God, what you're doing through us. God, I think a lot of us are full of the knowledge of God. Lord, it's time to empty ourselves in obedience to God. But Lord, help us always to be that spiritual hunger. Yes. Help us to realize we can't do it on empty. God, I'm praying that you continue to stir these things up. Lord, we don't just walk out and, as Russell said, flip a switch. That you won't allow that to happen. I ask your protection over us today, too. In Jesus' name.